I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi. If you don't know, I'm senior pastor of this amazing place. We're going to be in a different location at some point in time before 2028 of December. So pray with us. Pray for us. There's a baptism coming up. I'm so stoked about that. It's incredible. But I was thinking about something this morning. And this may be, if you don't get anything from the message, we're doing Romans, so it's God's word. I hope you get something from the message. It's God's word. But I went to the car wash the other day, not for even for my own car at first, you know, just went to the car wash. And I feel like God's often like a car wash. That's how I was sitting there, you know, man, like I'm just car wash. You have to take your dirty car out in public and surrender it to a cleansing. And there are people there that judge you. Like, it's just like Jesus. There are people that judge you. Come to the altar, you give your life to Jesus. Look at that guy. I know when I first walked up the altar, the ushers were like, we got to be eye on him. Watch him. You know, they judged my car when I brought it in there because it was up to Pinedale twice, and I did not clean it both times. And I have a tendency to chuck water bottles, Mark, behind my shoulder. I'll get them later. You know, and it reminded me, Jesus is like that. You can't call him to come to your place and help you get cleansed. If you really want to be cleansed, you got to go to him. Every time you got to go to him. And there's stuff he asks us to do, like clean your own junk. When you came to Jesus, how many had to clean your own junk? I had junk to clean up, right? I'm still cleaning up junk, right? And so that's truth, right? I had to throw out your water bottles. But Lord, do it for me. No, you throw out your water bottles. Yes, Lord. And so I want to encourage you. Some of you might need to go back to the cleansing station, you know? Go back and get some vacuuming done. Get some junk removal. Because I think this is like a season of miracles. I know I'm not in my notes, but this morning it hit me like nothing else. I was praying for you. Some of you guys don't know Rich Cook. He was an elder here for a long time. But like we got to see him come back to life. He was dead. You guys remember that? Remember that? Anybody around? Remember that Rich Cook? So he's like dead for 30 seconds, but dead's dead, right, bro? Like you want to be 30 seconds dead, anybody? No. Right? But he came back, and I started thinking about all the people in this room, all the little miracles. I got to go out with a couple this week. Miracles in their life. I got to hear about some of the things that are happening. Often, being a pastor or counselor, everyone only brings you bad stuff. No one comes to counsel like, man, we are nines, and we're going to get to a 10. Like, no, every usually like, hey, we're at a 4, and I might stab him. You know? That's how it is. But I see miracles all the time when that stops happening, and people get their lives back together, and they're falling in love, and they're doing amazing things, and they're putting their lives, and some of the miracles around, dude, you're just getting baptized coming up soon. Ah, you know what I'm saying? Just a little too stoked for my own good, and I just got to deal with it. If you think I'm too much today, you're going to really be ruffled by Pastor Apostle Lazialangi. He's coming, my Samoan older brother. He is coming the weekend after Easter. No, after Mother's Day, sorry. Mother's Day, sorry. I need to prep you a little bit. He's my older brother, and he doesn't care, and he doesn't have a filter, so he will say things. I can't stop him. He's a big Samoan guy. You know, I can't. I tried. And sometimes, though, he's got some OG good Pentecostal-type preacher in him. He's a little different than me. I'm not that way. He's a little different. He's an epic church planner. There are churches all over the South Pacific and Papua New Guinea that he started. Like, he's an incredible dude. He's a revival speaker in Fiji this year. We're going to have him here with us. I want to take care of him. He's a stinking 49ers fan, though, so it's really hard. It is. He's a husband, a dad, a grandpa, and at times a maniac. He's a calm or a hurricane. There's no mix. He's either coming, he's going to be real calm. You have to turn his mic up. He'll be like, take his mic down because he is shouting. You know, I don't know what he can do. And sometimes I sit there, and I've been around miracles with him. You know, I've had miracles in my life. I thought I was going to be, thought they're going to die for sure. Like, raise your hand because that's. Yeah, thought I was going to die. Little mosquito almost took me out in the South Pacific. Man, if you never had dengue fever, thank God you never had dengue fever. I didn't know what it was. I just know I was throwing up on a tiny airplane. I was like 500 degrees, and these little old Samoan mamas are fanning me down. And that's the last thing I remember. I thought, I'm never going to see my beautiful wife again, and God brought me back. You know, there's a tumor on your pancreas. And my friend's like, it's good to have friends that are doctors. Other times it's cold. You know, like, dude, what are my chances to go 50-50? That's one of the best. With a bad one, you're going to be gone in like a month. Or you're going to make it. I'm like, ooh, Jesus, give me time. And he has. And I've seen those miracles in your lives. people survive some hard things and you find Jesus. And I think it needs to be celebrated. And I know next week, Dr. Heidi's going to speak on Mother's Day. And buckle your seats because Apostle John's coming. And who knows? I just wanted you to be warned either way. Right? Come in. Father, this morning, I thank you for what you're doing in us, around us, and through us, in the community. Father God, we're not shaken by the enemy. Lord God, we shake back today. In Jesus' name, amen. We started this series, Hard Road. I start off with a slide. I thought we could remember some points. Miss Deflitson, thank you so very much for cleaning my glasses. You're amazing. First point, remember, God is God. That sounds pretty, if you've not been for the series, like, well, this guy's really brilliant. No, it's true. We forget that sometimes. We like try to play that God role. I'll make that decision. I've done this 1,000 times. I won't even ask God. That seems easy. Ever do that? And you get in the middle of some mess, you go, man, I should have asked God. Why? Because I'm in a mess now. I just didn't even ask him. I just assumed, right? God's always God. The second one is good fathers make unpopular rules. Any fathers out there? Do your children love all your rules that you make? No. Are they good for their own good? For your own sanity? Sometimes, right? Yeah. Unpopular. Yeah. I got an extra one from Sister Becky. They said, give it to me, Pastor. You bet. Number three, we are measured only by God's ways and glorious standards. He's got ways and glorious standards, and we're only measured by that, not by other people's. Number five, pleasing God is our priority. Is it? Is it? Episode one of this series was The Hard Road. Episode two was Heart Check Time. Episode three was What Are You Full Of? Episode four, I gave Kirsten, my daughter, an opportunity to pick a title. I gave her two titles. The first title is Trust Your Father. The second is Trust Your Father. Sometimes you got to trust your father. Like he said it, trust him. He let you down before, trust your father. When the word come true before, trust him. But this one's hard, but trust your father. So I put that on the top. And I go, a subtitle would be Who's Your Daddy? So today's title is Who's Your Daddy? So she picked. That's where we are. Look at your neighbor and say, Who is your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who do you live like? Who do you live for? Who do you look like when you live, right? So we're in the Hard Road, Romans chapter 4. We're in the book of Romans 4, 1 through 8 in the New Living. We'll start right here. Abraham. I'm slow rolling, Jess. I'll get us out at the time we get out. And it's been good lately. We'll see. Abraham. Abe's a big key figure with mankind in general at this time. Abraham's a key figure. He's number one on the Hebrews pop chart. Like whenever you talk around, you talk with a few Hebrews at a time, at some point in time, the conversation will lead back to Abraham. Why? He was the founding father of their nation. It's all about Abraham. God met with Abraham. If you've never read the Old Testament, I mean, I think I covered already some Abraham in Deep Roots, but man, God walked with him. Like no better time. Like I just want to sit down with God, you know, have a cup of coffee, kick my feet at the well, you know, maybe get some grapes delivered. I don't know, just chill. Abraham, that's what he had. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? You discover what? It's a heart issue, right? Last week, we were supposed to examine our hearts deeply and sincerely. I don't know if you do that when you give those moments, but like, try to take a moment to do that. I try to examine my heart, so take advantage of those moments. We tried last week. It says, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way, for the scripture tells us. Scripture-based living, right, as believers. Say, scripture es muy, muy importante. All right, so my Spanish coach over there is telling me sometimes I blow it. She's like, Pastor, I need to help you out. Like, if you could send me some of the time, I don't know when it's going to come out of me. You know, I had 1 year of Spanish in 1986, and I was barely in class. I already got the credits to graduate. It's a good time to go play euchre in the cafeteria. If you're in private school, they say no, go to Spanish class. I wish I'd listened. I'd be way, way better, you know? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way, for the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work their wages, they're not a gift. You think when you get your paycheck, like, whoa, what a gift. I'm so thank you that you gave me that. You know, I'm so appreciative. Thank you took out all the taxes. It was so kind of you. You know, if I don't, if you don't get your paycheck, you're like, what's up? I earned that. Where's my paycheck? I don't want to hear about payroll. Blah, 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 blah. I want my paycheck, right? It's not a gift. When people work their wages, it's not a gift, but something you've earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God. God who forgives sinners. Anybody in that court? All have sinned? Are you all? Thank you, Jesus. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. David said, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Heart exam point one. I brought my soursop because my wife's going to ask me, did you take those little things I give you this morning to make you feel better? And I'm going to say, yes, everyone saw me do it right in front of you, this green, wonderful liquid. Mm. Thank you, Dr. Heidi. Heart exam point number one. Ready? Do you, do I, does the church walk around in joy? Do we give off joy vibes most of the time? People said, like, man, that guy's around. Like, just get some joy about that, you know? It's easy to give off joy vibes when things are going well, right? When things are popping, you know, you got a bonus, your car's washed, you got your pretty wife on your arm, you're going out on a Friday night. It's easy. You hear some Christian reggae banging. Wah, wah, I'm having joy. Whoa! How much joy do I put out when my road's hard? I'm a little hee-haw then, you know? Oh, woe is me. So does the church in general give off gratefulness vibes? Say, I am the church. Does the church give off complainy vibes? Does the church give off whiny vibes? Does the church give off critical vibes? Oh, how about this one? This one will sting. Ready? Does the church give off, I need affirmation for everything I experience? It's just a little bit suffery. If I just suffer a little bit for Jesus, I need some recognition. I know I do. It's like my life is hard, you know. I missed game 7 of the, you know, Sixers won. Derek, where are you, my one Sixers fan? Where is he? Yeah! Okay, just neither one of you. You know, our little things that we have to sacrifice. I won't eat that last piece of cake. Why? Because, you know, I've had 3. And I just want you to have the best piece, babe, you know. I just want you to recognize that I saved it for you because I could have eaten it. Affirmation, right? Do we walk around like that as a church? Do we whine? Do we fuss? Are we critical? What kind of vibe are we giving off? So I am the church. Is the church mostly seen as happy and grateful or gnar? Gnar. Christian says our gnar. You know, it's gnar, right? Honestly, if you weren't you, how would you perceive you if you weren't you? If you weren't you, how would you perceive you if you weren't you? I think, yeah, there's a young man in the back row just went, I don't even get it, you know. Talk to your parents. Romans 4:9. Now, is the blessing only for the Jews or is it also for the uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. He's throwing in some deep roots. Why did he bring up Abraham? He's trying to tell them, listen, this plan goes back. Jesus fulfilled it, but this whole plan of righteousness goes back to one thing. It is faith. Not like I build a thing myself. I did a thing. Look, I went all the church boxes, checked them off, got all the giving boxes, boom. Speed by charving children, boom. Children church, boom. I'm checking the boxes. You can check boxes for days and never know Jesus and never really believe who he is, who he said he was. And he's saying, hey, remember, works are great, but don't forget, it's about your faith, right? Well, we've been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised or before he was circumcised? Right? Before, we learned that last week. Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Before he followed through with an obedient act, God saw it in his heart. But circumcision was a sign. A sign that Abraham already had faith. If you don't know this story, go read it. Like, it'll inspire your soul. It will. God does crazy things. He still does crazy good things today. There's so many miracles that are right in this church. If I were to tell your story, remember last week they flipped the signs, crying? Those are miracles, but I know a lot of signs that weren't flipped. And I look around, and when things are hard, I remember, oh, man, I remember what God did with them. I remember that, woo, and I start getting crazy excited, you know. You need to do that. Faith should do that with us, right? God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not received circumcision. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised. But here's the catch. Say, only if. Only if, like, he's your spiritual father. You're connected to the deep roots of God. You're taken all the way back to the promise. You are part of that great host of God's family if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Ruh-roh. That's hard sometimes. Romans 4:13 through 15. Clearly, God's promise was given for the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants. But it was based not on his obedience to laws. And sometimes, like in Romans, he starts laying out some laws in the beginning, so it's kind of confusing, right? Do this, don't do that. Why are you doing this? It's a sin. And he's saying that you can do the acts, but if your heart's not in it, they're just acts. Ever do that before? Just do something because your heart's not in it, you just did it. Every time I did a chore up until the time I got married, that's how I felt about every chore. My mom would ask me to do a chore, and I'd do it, but I never did it joyfully, not one time, Stuart. Not one time did I do a joyful. Now, every time my doctor wife, Heidi, I love every chore she gives me. So good. I'm grateful. It was based on the righteous relationship with God that comes by faith, right? If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith's not necessary. The promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment for those who try to just obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Boom, I tried to live that way. And then inside, things change. But it makes sense, right? It makes sense. It's logical. Paul's laying it out. Romans 4:16 through 17. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. I was thinking about the car wash again. My son has like this monthly plan. He gets unlimited car washes. He gets drive up, publicly declare the shame of your car, pick the wash that you want, and then you got to go clean the junk out of it. And I went, man, that's so much like my life. But the great thing is I have an unlimited lifelong pass to the car wash. The problem is I can't expect the car wash to always come to me. I've got to go to the car wash. I got to go to the car wash, right? Makes sense. Romans 4:16 through 17. So the promise is received by faith, if it is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. Say if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean. The scriptures, again, when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed God. Why is this a big deal? He believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Why do I say that? You're going to get into the story in a minute. Paul's going to talk about it to refresh their memories. But God showed up with Abraham and said, oh, man, I love you, and I'm going to give you a son. And he's like, dude, I'm 90. And 90 was better back then. I guess they're eating organic stuff. I don't know. 90's good. The air is quality. Yeah, 90. And he walked up and said, hey, you're going to have a son. And Abraham's like, oh, okay. Seriously? Yeah, you got a son. And in the tent, his wife laughed like, ha, 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 ha. She's 10 years younger than him, but still 80's 80, right? And then they wait for so long until Abraham's 100. I thought maybe God missed it. When you, like, God, it's not going to happen. Plus, you know, my 90-year-old wife, I mean, I watch my daughters go through pregnancy, and they're in the peak of their life. 90? Like, I don't want. Are you serious? Faith in God and his words matter. Believing what he says matters. And that's challenged sometimes in our life, isn't it? Romans 4:18 through 19. I want faith like that. Because when I pray for things, how many want it now? I'm like, yeah, Veruca Salt from, you know, Willy Wonka, give it to me now. You know, I want it now. I pray for this thing. I pray for that thing. I'll pray for your thing. Give it to me. Give it to me now. Oh my gosh, you give it to me now. My faith is so bad. I can't believe that she didn't save that extra piece of cake for me. I was asking God. You know. Romans 4, 18 through 19. Even when there was no reason for hope, even when there was no reason for hope. Been there? Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. That's the kind of faith he's asking of us. Remember, he said, if you believe, I want you to have Abraham faith. Abraham kept hoping. He kept believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God has said to him, I love this. This is the small line. It's a transition, right? God said to him, this is Abraham's life. I want to just share this. When God said it, the case was closed. How many things have God said to us in our life and we didn't want the case to be closed and we keep the case open? How many things we go, man, what God speak to me is like, I did it real clearly right there in the Word. I know you don't like it, but I said it. Case closed. When God says something to Abraham, he goes, okay, you said it. I'm in. But you're 100 years old. God said it. All I know is God said it, and I'm going to stand until I'm not standing anymore, that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, and I'll keep standing. But sometimes as a church, I whine through that. Anybody else? I'm standing. I'm still standing. I'm barely standing. Could you stand with me? Let's lay down together. You know? Sometimes. For God said to him, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Oh, wow. Is our faith supposed to resemble Abraham's? How often is our faith easily weakened? I mean, my faith gets shaken with this. Dr. Heidi will answer the phone and go, she just has to go, and I'll go, oh no, what tragedy hath befallen us? My faith is under assault. What thing was I climb a mountain for it? I'll be waiting. And she's going, okay, I'll let him know. What's the matter? Well, we had a cancellation this week. We don't have 100,000 counseling appointments. We only have 999. Yes! I misinterpreted. She was like, ah. I was like, yes. But my faith was shaken for a second, you know? It was. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at 100 years of age, even at 100 years of age, he figured, makes popular sense, a little doubt, all right? He figured his body was as good as dead. He's like, okay, Lord, you're meaning something different than I thought you meant. I'm as good as dead. And so Sarah, I mean, her womb's old and, you know. So what did we learn, though, from last week? I want to tie last week's points in. Let's bring in some points from last week. Here's a good place to do it. I got slide back there, Jess. Pop me up. So we're supposed to have faith like Abraham. We're supposed to believe during hard times and good times. We're supposed to have this joy about us in our lives in general, not all the time. There's a time and a season for mourning and sadness. But in general, when people are around you, do we take from them or do we give to them? And sometimes you're given and sometimes you're taken. That's the whole thing. But in general, are you a gas station for them to pull up and get fueled up? What is the church full of, really? When people pull up in our lives, what are we really full of? You know, if we're not full of faith, then that's going to be hard on someone who's looking for someone for faith to have faith for them. I'd have faith for you to cut your fingernail, but my mortgage is due. Sorry. You don't know the week I had. I loved it getting those conferences. People say, you don't know the week I had. I go, I wish I could tell you my week. I will win this battle. I will have the saddest week. Maybe not. I've had seen some sad weeks recently. But when the sad folks pull up, I hope I have something I'm full of, and it's not full of me, and it's not full of baloney. I hope we're filling up with Jesus, because we are the church, and if they can't come to us, where are they supposed to go? Right? What should the church be full of? Say faith. What am I full of? I wrote the answer down there so you knew. The answer is faith. I don't know if you, in case you didn't know. It's an easy test, you know, simple. The church is being called again to live by faith and live out our faith like never before. I see guys from the NBA getting fired from their jobs because they're standing up for Jesus and leaving to go become pastors. I'm seeing people, even on my, maybe it's my Facebook feed, all these Hollywood stars like, man, I used to live this way and I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm seeing them baptized. I'm seeing people coming to Jesus like crazy lately, and I hope they can come to a church that's living it out and not just talking it out. That has some faith to give them when they come in. Can you say this with me? Say, Lord, increase my faith.
Right.
Romans 4, 20 through 25. Soursop, babe. Abraham never wavered. Say this, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. Isn't that the point? Like when you tell your story and God comes through, it gives people faith. Like it gives, like, he did it for you. He might do that for me. Like God forgave you. But you ever get in those conversations with someone that you're trying to give Jesus to? And they say, but you don't know. Like, I got to tell you my whole story and every terrible thing. Because if you knew that, God wouldn't let me in. Ever have that? That was me. I kept Apostle John up and my friend Ken Brooks hours and I had to tell them every sin. I felt like I had to. I didn't have to, but I felt like I had to because they were telling me what Jesus could do. And I went, oh, well, he doesn't. Does he know everything? Like, I got to tell him everything. Would he really love me then? Would you love me then? Would you kick me out of the house? Would you be worried that I would steal your stuff? What would you do? Having people in your life that aren't wavering in their faith. We have moments of downness. But we're the church shouldn't be waverers. That shouldn't be the existence of how we live our lives and wavering, right? In fact, his faith grew stronger and brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God's able. Say, I'm the church. I'm convinced of that. God is able. I've seen him do stuff that never, God is able. Able to do what? Whatever. He's able to do what? Whatever. Whatever he promises, he's able to do it. He's able to. Whatever. Whatever that is. And because of Abraham's faith, God had counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. Like way back then, he's like, this is part of your life, man. This is how you're to live your life too. God's word, say God's word. Es muy, muy. Muy importante. Yeah, they didn't do the tante very well. You didn't work with them, I'm just saying. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous. Say righteous. Righteous, yeah. Righteous if you believe in him. Him, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. He was handed over to die for our sins. Because of our sins, he was raised to life. That makes us righteous, not what we do. It's believing that. Say righteous. So here's my thought. I'm so ready early. It's 11:11. I never get out this time. I'm getting in a terrible habit of doing this. But I feel like it's the season of response like never before. I feel like Lord's pushing me to be the better version of me like I never have before. And that means me changing stuff, and that's hard. That means laying down some stuff. That means letting them poke on the stuff, right, you know, that makes you go. I'm a person that's okay with like an A- most of the time. Unless I'm playing 2K, I want A+ rating. But I'm like most of the time in school, I barely tried. If I pulled an A- for just barely pulling, a teacher's like, yeah, you pull an A- barely do it. You like, what do I, why go to Spanish class, bro? I don't need that. I'm going to college anyways. Someday you're going to need it. No, I'm not. I live in New York. There's no Spanish speaking people within until you go to the city. Well, I didn't know I was coming here. I wish I could say importante better. But the question really is, have you made the exchange with Jesus? Maybe some of you here have never made that exchange. I never went to the car wash. I just kind of snuck in, kind of hung out, trying to believe this Jesus stuff. But I know he's saying, hey, bring it to me. Bring it to me in the most public way you can and let me cleanse you from everything you've ever done. You don't got to confess it to the intended, but you got to bring it to the car wash. And then I'm going to, like the person to your right or your left, if that's you right now, there's someone next to you that's been through that process and they understand junk removal afterwards. You know, my buddy Chris last week, oh man, he listens to these. Chris, sorry, I'm telling a story on you. Don't be mad. He got saved and he got baptized here and he wanted to come out and get baptized. And God's still working on stuff in him, you know. And he was telling me an exciting story. He goes, I got this guy from high school I went to high school with when I moved to Florida. And he's been talking about Jesus going through a really hard time. Please pray for him. His name's Jimmy. And he's going through it. And what I did was I had him start reading the Bible where you had me start reading. And he's loving it. And I'm going to buy him a Bible. Isn't that cool? I said, what's cool about it is you're a disciple. He goes, what do you mean? I said, go out there and make disciples of all nations. You're doing what God's asking you to do. And then he let out the biggest cuss word and said, yeah. God's working on him. But he was super excited. You know, you're not going to come in perfect. You're not going to leave perfect because there's only one perfect one. What's his name? Jesus. But we got to be disciples, right? And God's asking us to come up and be a little different this year. You feeling stretched a little bit? Feeling pulled a little bit? God's moving. So maybe you've never made the exchange with Jesus at all. I want to make space for it. Maybe you've decided to follow the narrow road and you're starting to feel how narrow it is lately because you're feeling kind of lonely and some of those changes are hard. Maybe you decided God's way, the only way for you. If you want prayer for any of those things, you have never come to Jesus and let him just cleanse you and make you right just because of what he did. You have an opportunity this morning. I want you to come up. If you need prayer because your narrow road seems really hard, I'd like you to come up. Why publicly? I don't know, because I'm not the public guy. I don't like this done. I'm the guy that doesn't like to be on the spotlight. I don't even like to be on the stage. But sometimes you got to make a public move if your private life's going to change. And I remember having to do that. I had to make a public move for my private life to change. I walked up in front of church people I didn't even know. Smaller than this. Everybody's looking at me, judging me. I came in. I can't remember. I probably had some crazy band shirt on and some appropriate saying on it. But I walked into church and I felt God's presence and I knew I needed a good car washing. So if you need a new car wash, come on up. I'm here. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. I'm just going to take a second. If you don't, I'm going to pray over you and let you go and enjoy the rest of your day. Just take a minute at your seat. Don't press anybody next to you. Don't judge their car. Just let them have a moment with God, just them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I appreciate that. If you need anything, narrow way, narrow road, narrow difficulty, you can come up and receive prayer. I would love you to come up and receive prayer. I'm going to take the mic away. Pastor Justin, would you mind passing off that wonderfully cute baby and praying for Brother Mark? I appreciate that. Just stretch your hands out. Maybe you've been there. Maybe they're going to come to you after service because they need a good gas fill up. Maybe some of these folks just need to lean on someone that's got some faith for them right now. From what I know of these folks, they're world changers, to be honest with you. So pray with them like they're a world changer that lives in your church and you want to see them strengthened and encouraged again. So raise your hands this way and that way and the other way if you would. Father, I thank you. You didn't just start a work to move away. You're building something, and Anna, that's a full service station. People's lives can be refreshed, fed, fueled. Lord, she's a mom. So I pray strengthen her in all the hats that she wears. Her wife hat, her mom hat, her daughter of the king hat, her business hat, Father. The burdens of those hats wouldn't seem heavy. They would be light. Lord, and when she gets down, you would send reminder after reminder of all the good things you're doing in her life. That she'd find people in her life that would stand with her, Lord God. There would be vessels of faith she could fuel up when she needs to fuel up, Lord God, and she could fuel them up. Lord, I thank you that what you're doing is new and fresh and stronger than ever before. And where the enemy's popped up for everyone else in this room, me included, where he's kind of been talking smack and pointing things and pushing buttons, Lord God, we ask you, cut off the hands of the enemy, cut off the heads of the enemy, Lord God, lay them in a pile and cause us to march forward into our destiny this year as the church, Father. As the church, send us out this week, Father, in the community to be great examples as best we can, full of only one thing, you. Holy Spirit, you said you'd be the helper. We're asking for help. Help us be the church, Lord, just like you wanted us to be. Imperfect but full. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.